You are listening to On the Shoulders of Dwarves, a weekly podcast about role-playing games and role-playing gamers.
On the Shoulders of Dwarves.
Hello and welcome to On the Shoulders of Dwarves, a weekly podcast about role-playing games, the player who played them, and the gamers who gained them. My name is Eran Aviram.
My name is Uri Lifshitz. Hello!
And today, we'll discuss the normal, the ordinary, the mundane, and why it's so important. We are doing this right after the previous episode, which was about the special, the unusual, the unique. Because if you don't have a normal, then the unique is not all that unique. If everyone is special, then no one is special. So you do need to establish some sort of mundane in your world. We actually got an email about this several months back after the episode.
Don't tell them. They don't know. Don't tell them. We just got an email. We're answering them right away.
After the episode that we did about holidays and unusual events in the campaign world. We'll give links to both of these episodes, of course, both specials and holidays, in the show notes. The email was from Ronnie Dover, who wrote thus. Hello, dwarves. First, big kudos on the podcast. You're doing an awesome job, and it's a delight to tune in weekly. Thank you, Ronnie. I was listening to one of your older episodes on the topic of holidays, which I found really interesting. In my experience, holidays, as predictable events on the calendar with known rituals and customs, can help normalize the campaign world. As such, however, they also provide an opportunity to portray changes, political, personal, economic, or other, in a more nuanced way. Take as an example the hypothetical King's Day, usually celebrated by toasting to the King's health, a well-known yearly event the characters slash players are familiar with. Now, if the party arrives at a certain town in time for the celebration, the subtleties of how the celebrations are held in that place and time can be a grand storytelling vehicle. The characters may notice a bitter undertone of sarcasm when the mayor proposes a toast, or take notice of the fact that there is considerably less food being offered around the tables. The church officials may not attend or just opt out to make their yearly proclamation in support of the king, etc., etc. What I'm trying to get at is that even beyond the subject of holidays, establishing the normal in the campaign is important and even required in order for the players to understand the significance of happenings that break this norm. There needs to be a balance of sorts in order for the campaign to work. This might make for an interesting discussion in a future episode. Like this one!
Woohoo!
Anyway, these are my two thanks. Thanks again. No, thank you, Ronnie, because these are excellent 2 cents, and we shall make a shilling out of them.
Dun, dun, dun. First of all, thank you, Ronnie, for the kind word. And you raise a very interesting point, one that I feel we have passed by several times, but never explored in depth. One of the most important parts of any story is the premise, the setup, the normal, the mundane, as we've referred to. Now, back in the days when I was a wee lad, I went to an improv festival in the mysterious faraway land of Spain. There, in the magical city of Barcelona, I studied under great masters of storytelling. And it was an excellent, excellent exercise about telling a story in 7 simple sentences. In a very, very strict form. The sentences were, one, the once was an X. So, shall we say, a knight. The once was a knight. 2, every day he would something. Every day he would fight dragons. Now, 3, till one day X happened. Till one day they ran out of dragons to fight. 4, as a result, something happened. He went along in a long quest to find a dragon. 5, as a result of going on that long quest, he found the love of his life. 6, as a result of finding the love of his life, they got married. And 7, and ever since then, they lived happily ever after. Now, this exercise is called Story Spine, and we'll give a link to more details about that later on. But what's really important about this attitude towards storytelling is the first 2 parts are all about establishing a baseline. There once was a knight, every day he would fight dragons. This is the normal, this is the routine, this is what happened every day. Most books and stories start in section 3, till one day X happens. 3 answers the question, why are we telling a story about this day and not about any other day? In narrative analysis, this is sometimes referred to as the tilt. The moment that something happens that disturbs the peace, disturbs the routine, and something interesting happens. And that is why we are focusing on this moment in time. Now, I believe that the way to create an interesting dungeon or a realistic plot is to always have a past, a routine that was disrupted and thus created an interesting adventuring opportunity. Because no one wants to go to dungeon number 14 for the 512th time after there were hundreds of adventurers there before you and probably will be next week again. This is basically the plot of every bad RPG game where you just grind the same things over and over. So establishing this baseline, this routine, is very important for the feeling of something really important happened, something interesting happened. This is not just me doing something that other people did before and will do again later on. But I hear you asking the imaginary voices in my head, how can I create a routine? I don't want to play four sessions of nothing happening.
Yes.
Just so that session number five will be, oh, something happened. This is really interesting.
That's the biggest problem. Routines are mundane and normal and not interesting by definition.
So we
don't really want to play them. And yet we want to establish them in our imaginations. So how, Uri?
Well, let's talk about some general tips on establishing routines. Number one, and most importantly, be consistent. Routines are something that happen repetitively, and you get used to them. So if every time the adventure parties arrive to town and the guard at the gate asks them, so do you have any forbidden magical items? No, move along. It's important to keep doing that so that when something happens, when that mysterious cursed eye of Nazgulaz will suddenly be in their possession, they're going to have to suddenly think about this. And just because you ask that question every time they walked into the city in the previous adventures, it seems like a bit of fluff, something that you don't really need to think about. But suddenly, it takes weight, because now they have to lie to the official. Now they have to do something against the law, and they know the law. So always be consistent with what you try to establish as the normal.
I will talk about it more later when I discuss daily routines, when we describe our characters and what they do on a daily basis. Again, hopefully not in a boring way, but we need to be consistent with these as well. If the barbarian offers something to their totem every morning, even saying like two or three things about how I do it every time is important, because once I start missing these, I start forgetting about them. I start forgetting about the existence of my routine. And if it's not set around the table, it doesn't exist in the game.
Indeed. Oftentimes, routines of the characters need to be in some way a routine of the player.
Yes.
I played in a game where we had a cleric worshipping the moon goddess. And he would, at the beginning of every single session, ask the GM, so, how full is the moon tonight?
Good, nice.
Which is amazing.
Yes.
Now, the nice tweak here is, you know, sometimes you would play four or five sessions in a dungeon, for example. And in-game time, they're an hour apart, okay?
Yes.
They're still all in the same day, like four or five sessions. But he would still ask at the beginning of every session, how full is the moon tonight?
That's the player reminding himself that it's important to him.
Exactly. That's the player being consistent with how he portrays character. So again, be consistent all round, not just the GM. Players should be consistent as well with all things routine. And we're going to talk about that later on.
Now, wait, you can send weekly questions about routines, asking about routines. Like, for example, what is your daily routine? That's an excellent weekly question. I sent and have received such questions many times in the past. The problem is that the question itself is not a routine. So if you ask about what the daily routine is and you reply, well, my barbarian worships the totem, etc., That's great, but it will be forgotten by next week. Because next week you'll get a different weekly question and it will be awesome and great and fun, but you'll forget about the routine you've just described. You actually need to make it into a routine in the game.
Indeed, in a consistent manner. So number two, things that happens routinely have procedures and infrastructures dedicated to them. Establish those early on. I think one of the best examples are, imagine the Black Plague in the Middle Ages, and you automatically get that image of people walking in the street with a cart full of dead bodies yelling out, "Bring out your dead! Bring out your dead!" And that's because people dying at homes became so commonplace, such a routine, mundane event, that they established a procedure to take care of it. Now, imagine that. Anything that happens very often and consistently in your game should have a procedure and an infrastructure to handle it. If the town is being burned by red dragons every summer, literally every summer, there should be a stockpile of water and magical fire retard elements and other things that would help them put out the fire. There should be a fireproof area where children should run to when the alarm is sound. There should be a watchman watching four red dragons on the horizon and ringing a bell. These shouldn't be things that surprises you every time. Except in Israel, where every winter when it rains, all traffic is blocked because, oh my God, it's raining. We have never considered this possibility and we have not prepared for this. But on a brighter note, inside your campaign world, you can create better infrastructures for things that happen routinely.
I really like dropping mentions of these into my descriptions as a GM. And I customize them to the players for whatever it is that their character is doing, because I want them to feel like their character is indeed part of this world. So the character is well aware of the routine. In our current game, for example, where we play, half of the players have been living in the city in which the campaign is set for all of their lives. So they, of course, they know a lot about the routines of their lives in the city. So when, for example, the rogues walks around and I explain how we turn toward some shop or other, I tell the rogue that he notices that there's this street urchin on the other side and they do the sign to each other, they nod at each other. I don't explain who this urchin is. I don't explain what the nod is. It isn't important. The main important thing is there's a sense of something that has been consistently going on for a long, long time. Yes, there's an urchin. You know there's an urchin there. You do the nod because that's what you do. Does it say that there are no watchmen around? I don't know. I don't care. It doesn't matter. If the player asks me what it is, if the player wants more, then sure, maybe we can establish something. Maybe they'll roll something. Maybe I'll roll something. Something can happen. But it doesn't matter. On the most basic level, I just put some these little bits of information into every description I do as they walk around the city, as they enter the shop. In my pirate campaign, when they dock the ship, I explain how there are already like a harbor master coming up to them and asking for all of the regular permits and stuff like that. It's the thing that happens, and we don't stop for more than like a second on it. I just explain that it happens. If a player catches it and says, "I want to make it into a thing," we make it into a thing. Otherwise, they continue on. I mean, as the players, they don't want to talk to the harbor master. Usually, sometimes they will want. Maybe they're looking for a ship that passed through here and the harbor master will know. But otherwise, they probably just want to get to shore and go and do their thing. It does require me, as a GM, to do some work beforehand. To think about the harbor master. To read about street urchins. I wouldn't have known that there are street urchins there in the street unless I... Well, in this example, in this city, it's very London-based. So what I did is, not exactly read, but watch some series about London in the Victorian ages and stuff like that, and there were so many street urchins around that it got hammered into my head, and that was the research. Now I know to say, yes, there's a street urchin there. Oh yes, there's mud all over the cobblestones, so of course you all walk with high boots. Of course, today, this morning, you all went out with high boots. Again, it's not an important routine and it's not an important detail. That's the whole point of it. It's an unimportant detail. It establishes an unimportant thing that happens.
I tend to use a lot of foreshadowing with my routines. So my players by now know to listen very carefully to any detail that I give them. Mm. If I describe that there's a large stockpile of wooden barrels filled with water, they know that this is an inflammatory area, shall we say. Something will probably burn later on in this campaign. And filing that information away is good for them, as I have conditioned them over the years. So by now I get away with describing a lot of things which they actually pick up on.
It's really important, because if later on, for example, I want to have some sort of doppelganger or spy, it could be the street urchin that I've described before. And it would never have occurred to them, and yet I sort of foreshadowed it by describing him. So it's fine. If suddenly someone know about them and it's a spy, and I say, yes, it was that dude, they say, ah, okay. If there weren't any that dude that I could point at, then they would say, well, who's this spy? Where did this person comes from? How was it that I wasn't allowed to roll something, a perception or something, to notice them? And they would be right.
Moving on to number three on our list of tips to establishing routine is to make sure to emphasize when something not normal happens. Do this by using the reaction of the people around the event, for example. If there is a monster attack on this village, this could be a routine. Maybe monsters attack this village every 2 weeks. And so someone yell, "Monsters are approaching!" And everyone get up, pick up their things, and move on in an orderly fashion to the castle to be evacuated and waiting for the knights to come out and handle the monster's attack. Or this could be a total surprise and everyone starts screaming and yelling and chaos ensues. So when there is a depart from normalcy, you have to emphasize it. This is not the routine. Or emphasize that this is the routine and this is terrible.
Yes, and do so by showing that people are already accustomed to it or definitely aren't.
Now, establishing routine, as I see it, can work on several levels, several layers which I feel are all important. Number one, the highest level, is the cosmology of the universe. I'm talking about the rules by which your world operates. Now, establishing what's normal in the world is usually aided by the mechanic of the game and the premise. The rules usually determine what is possible inside your game. In some games, the rules are clearly meant to be broken. If you're playing a Call of Cthulhu game, you know that all the rules does not apply to Cthulhu and the old ones. So if there is a break in the rules of the world, in how the world works, you need to establish that that is not normal. If you would consider our world, for example, if gravity would stop working or work differently, then suddenly you have a disrupt of the normalcy of the cosmology of the world. Things like magic suddenly work differently. The gods have all left us. Oh no! Or the gods have all returned. Oh yay! All these are something that disrupt the cosmology of the world. This should be done sparingly because the cosmology of the world determines in a great and significant way what can we expect from the world around us. And if we start playing with that, a lot of time players would lose that sense of an actual consistent world around their character, which is something we usually want to keep in order to get that imaginary space alive and vivid for everyone around the table. Next up, we have the routine of everyday life. This is how the world, the people around the character act. You can establish this very easily by having cities, having different types of kingdom or countries or whatever it is, and the way they manage themselves. If the characters are currently in a city inside the country, that city operates in a specific way. Again, be consistent. What are the rules of this country? What is allowed? What is not allowed? What happens every so often? A holiday, a specific event, etc. And again, think about what might disrupt the normal course of event. There is a sudden election, or war has been declared, or monsters barge in, or there's a royal wedding that happens only once every 50 years, and this is suddenly a grand new thing. This is usually what dictates life around the characters and how they interact with everyone around them. So having some sort of a routine is paramount, in my opinion, in this case. If there is a thieves guild, there should be a routine of how to interact with the thieves guild. If there's a king, there usually is a routine how to get an audience with the king, etc., etc., etc. These are the rules of society.
Yes.
Next up, we zoom in on the party. What is the routine of the party? Does our party usually get a quest, go, come back, get loot, get a quest, go out, come back, etc.? Is this the mundane life for our adventuring party? Or maybe they consider themselves on one long quest with a lot of side quests. Or maybe they don't do quests, they just try to live their life and escape from whoever's chasing them, etc., etc., etc. All these are different routines that might be broken apart by different interactions or happenings. Such a routine can be disrupted by the adventurers facing a new kind of adventure, or now they must act undercover as non-adventurers, or suddenly they can't use their powers because they're being monitored by the king's guard, etc., etc., etc. Imagine, if you will, that your adventuring party have to go undercover. So the wizard have to start acting like a knight, and your barbarian need to act like a Bavarian scholar, etc., etc. In most Shadowrun games, adventuring party have a very specific structure of adventure. There is a handler, he comes, he offers you this job, you accept this, you go, you do the job, you come back, your handler betray you, you discover who sent him, you kill them, the quest ended.
Yes.
This is the plot of all Shadowrun games and books and stories. And there's nothing wrong with this. This is the established routine. However, if you break away from this routine, something happens. And we zoom in even further to the routine of individual characters. You need to establish the normal routine for the characters in your party. Interactions with their family, with the organization they came from, with friends, etc., etc., etc. Maybe they have other routines. Your monk doing meditation every morning. How does that look like? Your cleric is praying every morning. Maybe your swashbuckler is working out every morning, but probably not. He'd probably hang out with the bard. Maybe they have regular sparring sessions with their teachers or elders, etc., etc., etc. Establish these normal routines for your character so the GM could work with you on enhancing those or using them as interesting plot hooks. Of course, you can disrupt that normal yourself. Imagine your cleric waking up in the morning saying, "Guys, I just realized I'm having a crisis of faith. After the last adventure where I had to kill that innocent boy to save the town, I can't pray to my God anymore. I feel tainted." Literally mean, "I get no healing spell. You're all fucked. But still, this is what I feel at the moment." Imagine a character getting divorced from their wife or husband and how that would affect the daily routine and adventuring routine of that individual character. Or someone being expelled from their organization or denied a promotion. These are all really interesting angles to add to your game, which will not work if you don't have a routine before that to be broken.
I want to talk a bit about the daily routines and how to establish them in a fun way, hopefully, in the game. So, in essence, we're talking about focusing on the less stellar parts of everyday adventuring and describing them as we sit around the table, but not as the main thing, because the main thing will probably be the dungeon that we are now heading to, or whatever adventure that we are currently on, and not the fact that our cleric does his thing every morning and pray to the gods. My suggestion is, whenever you finish daily preparations, which is whenever it is, everyone has daily preparation. It's when you finish your long rests or whatever. Every player give a moment, really like a sentence or two, about what have they been doing or what is unusual went wrong in their preparations. Like, for example, maybe the wizard explains that there was some sticky mud between two pages of the spellbook. That's enough. You don't need more than that. Or maybe the fighter describes how this time when he maintained his shield, it becomes extra sparkly, so it really shines really well today. Maybe the thief explains how they are singing a song about uplifting their morale because today they feel a bit down. They don't need to explain why. It doesn't have to be a big important moment because after yesterday they're full of emotions. No, maybe they just woke up on the wrong side of the bed and they just feel a bit down, so they sing a bit of song. The ranger can talk about how they're brooding, what they're brooding about today, or maybe how they're combing their long hair. You really don't need to go very far with this. Same for when you're in a city, because you're not always adventuring, and not all adventures are out there, and maybe your daily routine has to do with living in a city. Again, like in the campaign that I'm currently running, which is all about being in a city. The adventures aren't really all that adventuring. So their daily routines might be something like, I go get a haircut. I go and buy a new mug because my previous mug got broken this morning. I accidentally left it on the edge of the table, and when I came to drink my tea, it fell and it got broke. That's it.
Having a personal mundane item is amazingly important in my eyes. Your favorite cup, the specific spork that you use, etc. Or snacks. My characters usually have their favorite snack.
So if indeed your character are in a city, you can just think about something that you would probably want to do tomorrow. And it could be the most normal thing. Go on your commute, listen to a podcast, and try to translate that into something that your character would do today. And just again, give it a sentence, nothing more. I'm out and I want to see the new posters collect the early tickets for the new Bard show coming later this week. Because I really like that specific bard and that specific show. Whatever. It's not something that will be important in the story unless you somehow later decide to give it some importance. Finally, I highly recommend making it important mechanically. That is, actually taking some part of the rule that relate to maintenance or some other sort of routine. And when I say maintenance, I don't necessarily mean taking care of your gear. It can also be things like taking care of your mental health, taking care of your morale, taking care of your ambition, keeping your ambitions high, all sorts of things. I gave an example of this in an article I wrote to Ian Insider, which is probably one of the hardest things I've ever written. It's trying to make maintenance into a fun mechanism. And one of the reasons it's hard is because I think most game systems completely ignore this and have no mechanism to make maintenance and the normal and the ordinary into something that you need to do around the table. And that's unfortunate, because I think it really is something that you should do. You can take a look at Torchbearer, which, again, has some sort of maintenance mechanics. I really dislike that system, but it is interesting in a mechanical way, and you can take it as an inspiration for how to do that in your game. Because once you put mechanics to something, once there are rules, it becomes very much a thing in the game. It won't be something that you'll forget.
Agreed.
You can even go as far as say, in Savage Worlds, after you finish daily preparations, you have to tell me a bit of thing about what you're doing in order to get a Benny. That's how you get a Benny for the day, for example, or something like that.
Whew, we have talked a lot about something that is routinely and boring.
Hey.
Hopefully this episode wasn't too much of a bore for you, dear listeners.
But if it was, email us and tell us, oh, it was such a bore. I would like you to do an episode about, and fill in the blank. Do so at show@dwarfcast.net. You can also find us at dwarfcast.net on the interwebs and on the Shoulder of the Dwarves wherever you go to. If you want us to know about something that is interesting to you, you can either email us or Facebook us. We are Facebooked by you as well, or Twittered. That can happen as well. And of course, if you find any of the things that we talk about in this episode or others interesting or useful, please do share them with other people. That's the best way for podcasts to grow, word of mouth. It's weird, but it's true. And give us some sort of rank wherever it is that you are ranking your things. Thank you. And now it's time to take the load off.
This world is carried on the shoulders of the war.
This is the part of the show in which we talk a bit about role-playing games in our personal lives. Uri, have you been role-playing game in your own personal
life? I have been role-playing, thank God. Praise Jeff Buckley and his version of Hallelujah. I am currently playing Pathfinder 1st Edition, and I am in the adventure path Curse of the Crimson Throne. Ooh. And we are approaching the end of the 5th chapter of this long adventure path. And we've had a boss fight twice. I'm not gonna talk a lot about that because I don't want to do any spoilers. Mm. Suffice it to say that we have had several boss fights in a row, some of them repeatedly.
And interesting.
Interesting. And we have won the last two in very, very, very different ways. The first one of us simply went home and explored everything there was to know about this specific monster, and we came in so well prepared that it was ridiculous. Only lost one NPC to permanent death.
Oh no.
But except for that, amazingly done. And the second one, we simply went all out with, because it's toward the end and it's a boss fight, so everyone used all their high-level spells. Mm. Or in my case, I swashbuckled really well.
Mm, yes.
I guess that's the phrase. And it was glorious, because you suddenly see the payoff of honing your skill and focusing all your abilities really when the time counts. And you can really see that happening. So it was glorious. If anyone is not playing one of Paizo's adventure path, you should. They're awesomely written, they're very well made, the art is fantastical, and they just know how to do that.
Funny you're saying it, because I'm playing one, Hell's Rebels, and we started doing something pretty fun. I run it every week on Tuesday for a group of like 4 or 5 players, but also I'm running it with my wife. We just had a session yesterday. It's called the Silver Ravens. That's how the heroes are called in the campaign. So she's the Silver Sparrow. And she's it's a one-on-one game. So, of course, we also have an NPC accommodating her, which is a way for her to have some interesting interactions and have some chances of surviving giant albino alligators. And she's doing the stuff that I'm not doing with them, because there are a lot of information in this campaign path, and not all of it is awesome. I mean, I really like it. It's great, but there's a lot of things that shouldn't get to the table there, but instead they're getting to the table here, because it's a lot more fun in a one-on-one situation, which is weird and interesting, and maybe we should discuss this sometime else. But they are playing in the same campaign world. They are affecting each other, and that's really fun for me as the GM. Even though they don't really know a lot about each other yet, until we will do the crossover episode, which will be coming in like 3 weeks or so, probably. So that would be awesome. And that's it. It's fun. It's a lot of fun. And we're playing Pathfinder 2nd Edition, which is also a lot of fun.
Eran, I feel we should mention Fist of Legends, Rise from the Deep Freeze, role-playing adventure by Wendy's.
Yes, yes.
So let's start by saying that we live in an amazing time.
Yes.
In which fast food chains are actually producing their own damn well-made RPGs.
it's really pretty good. Of course, it's funny, it's tongue-in-cheek. Of course, it's an advertisement, obviously. But it's like 100 pages. It's very well produced. The adventure is actually pretty good. It's for free, so you can download it at feastoflegends.com, I think. The art is very sensible. Very good.
Yeah, sensible. It's pretty. It's well. It's the layout is even.
Yes, everything is well made.
Yes, and I am constantly. I've been reading the PDF in the last few days, and I am repeatedly surprised and amazed by this.
Now we don't advocate for Wendy's or against Wendy's. None of us have Wendy's in our countries in any case, so it really doesn't matter all that much. I personally like it, but I'm not really in line with the political agenda of the people who own the restaurant, but that doesn't really much matter for this specific point that we're discussing here. This thing exists. It's interesting. It's part of a trend. Let's see what happens next.
Indeed. The future is a wonderful adventure.
And as always, Lehitraut! On the Shoulders of Dwarves is shared under Creative Commons by attribution non-commercial 4. Intro and outro are by The Cliché Duo. And you can email us at show@dwarfcast.net.
On the Shoulders of Dwarves.